Hello and welcome to episode the 245th of the internet's one and only podcast about comic books. You are listening to the Comics Podcast. I'm your host, Jean-Luc, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friends. Chad is here.
Howdy.
Alex is here.
Hello, hello.
And Emily is here.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. We are made it another week in the year of 2021. And this week, some things happened to our friends in Riverdale.
Oh, shit, I didn't watch the new episode because I didn't catch
up. Hooray, we don't have to talk about it.
I was getting ready and I was like, I've read all the comics. I watched Yashahime. I've done everything. I had like an hour left. I could have done this and I didn't.
Why would you watch Yashahime instead of Riverdale? That seems...
I remembered like, oh shit, it's Saturday. I have to make sure I watch this because I had thought that I was going to watch Riverdale like earlier in the week. And by that I mean like yesterday. I thought I was going to do that, and then I ended up not, and so I totally forgot.
In that case, you and Chad can talk about your stupid anime.
Well, it's the last episode of the season one of that stupid anime, so I mean...
We did it, Jean-Luc, we did it.
Technically, Chad is free, unless he wants to watch season two.
I don't know if I do. Part of me does, part of me doesn't. The motivations for everybody in the last episode are all... just dumb as fuck. Like, nothing makes any sense. Like, oh, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna bring you back to life. And I'm gonna kill you again because actually I'm mad at you, I guess. I shouldn't have wasted the life sword. Also, you broke the life sword. That was rude. And then the other guy's like, oh, I killed Setsuna. I'm really sorry. I wish I had the life sword. I would bring her back to life. And it's like, well, why'd you fucking kill her then, you dickhead?
I gotta tell you, when they didn't bring Setsuna back to life at the end of the episode, I was yelling. I was like, what kind of...
Well, they're gonna do it season what, two, episode one.
I know, and I also said that, because although my wife is not watching this show, they occasionally are in the room when I'm watching it. So, as was the case for this last episode, I was like, ah! Like... they didn't bring her back! And my wife was like, oh, that's so sad, pretending to care. And I was like, well, they'll probably just do it in season two, episode one, so I'm not even really that worried about it. But, like, I did expect that to be, like, the big, like, emotional finale for the episode was bringing Setsuna back to life.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ballsy, but at the same time,
it would be less superpower. Ballsy if, or it would be more ballsy if they had not already confirmed a season two.
Yeah, but it's like, Toa's superpower is she can use broken swords, and then Sesshomaru is like, here, take my broken sword that heals people.
There you go.
And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I know how to do math. This checks out.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the final fight, but it also got really dumb where it's like, hey, what if we do that Gurren Lagann stuff where actually they're like in space and like cutting apart the moon or whatever, and it's like, what the fuck, guys?
Very cinematic in a very stupid way.
It's so not on brand with Inuyasha. Like, I like the... if the backgrounds had stayed normal like they were on Earth, that would have been a badass fight. Like, they put a lot of budget into that.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, we gotta go to space like the robots in that one anime.
Yep. Are you gonna watch season two, Chad?
I don't know.
I'll watch it if you watch it.
I'll see how I feel when it comes out.
Okay.
Like, by all accounts, I shouldn't. This really wasn't very good.
You didn't enjoy most of it.
I didn't.
But it could be fun.
I like how Sesshomaru, like, left and then came back, like, 4 minutes later after his daughter died. And it's like, you could have just not left.
Yeah. I don't totally understand Sesshomaru's whole deal in this whole series.
Neither do the writers.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
It's a problem. It's so dumb. It's just the fucking dumbest.
You know what though, Chad? I did recommend that you watch a good anime, and you still haven't done it.
Correct.
But it ends. Its last episode is either the coming week of this, like after this episode airs, or the next one, because supposedly it is 12 episodes, but like episode 8 of it is like a recap episode. And I saw a tweet that indicated that like one of the writers was saying they didn't expect the recap episode to happen. So it could be 13 episodes total and not 12. But episode 12 comes out next week, which could or could not be the end, depending on who is telling the truth. The tweet that said that they were not anticipating the recap episode has been deleted, so we don't know what that means.
So the ultimatum you gave me is that you wouldn't read my horse story until I watched at least the first episode of this anime.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like you're strong-arming me in here. Because I want you to read the horse story.
I will read the horse story.
Until I watch the anime.
All you have to do is watch one episode, which I think will make you into it enough to watch more of it.
It certainly can't be worse than what we just got done watching. I mean, that's actually really not true as far as anime goes.
It is exceedingly better than Yashahime in, like, every way. Like, in terms of...
I believe in you.
Art style, animation, writing, like, literally all of it is better. It hasn't been confirmed for a season 2 yet, though, so I'm worried. I will be okay if they manage to wrap up this fight. Because, for the listeners, the episode that we're... The anime that we're talking about is Wonder Egg Priority, which I told Chad he needs to watch. And if they somehow manage to wrap up the story in the next episode or two, I will be okay with that. But I just don't feel like they will. So I want another season. But it's really good. And I've been really impressed with the writing and the animation so far. So I think that you would like it. And that's why I said you should watch it.
I'll give it a go. Like I said, I want to finish the horror story. And for Jean-Luc and Alex, I think we're done talking about anime now. So you can come back.
Yeah.
The MLP fan fiction is almost 8,000 words. Now I'm almost done with Act 2.
Holy shit.
So my goal is not to exceed 12,000, which is extremely doable, but also it wasn't supposed to exceed 4,000. I realized that they had to unite the orc clans and teach them friendship before they could destroy the Tyranids, because it was a friendship is magic story, and that's how those are structured.
Yep.
And so I was kind of strong-armed.
You did it, or you're going to do it.
It's been fun.
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, Chad. That's the main part of writing any sort of thing, is that you are having fun.
I bet I write Fluttershy better than half the writers of that show.
I would believe that. Fluttershy is a difficult character to get right, and I feel like you hate her enough to...
I do.
I feel like you hate her enough to get close to writing her well. Because it means you won't write her badly.
I'm sorry, we went from one cursed thing to another. Jean-Luc, Alex, how are you two?
I'm okay. I heard you had a lot of adult shit you had to do this week, such as killing some innocent trees.
Okay, well, it's not innocent trees' death if one of them's already dead. So, but yeah, I spent $800 this week because I had to get a bunch of tree stuff done in my backyard. I probably didn't have to, but it needed to be done eventually. And this guy is hard to book, and he's very affordable. So it was a bit spur of the moment, but yeah, that was a not the best way to spend my stimulus package. Though my backyard looks pretty nice now. Like, it turns out way bigger when you remove a lot of bullshit.
Wow.
That's cool. And also, the power lines don't look like they're going to... it was a problem. So some of those trees definitely needed to be trimmed back. It was a safety hazard. So I did that. And then I bought a new set of knives for cooking because I really needed ones. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go do this. I want some metal handles. I'm sick of these plastic handles, shitty steak knives that snap once in a while because they're old and I got them at like a Goodwill. Like, I can do better than this. I'm in my 30s now. But they don't give that shit away. That was a $100 set of knives. That sucked. And then I bought a new computer desk, which I'm using now because it matches the wood grain of everything else in the room and also doesn't look like it belongs in a dorm. So that's great. And I put that together at like 11 o'clock last night because when else are you going to put a desk together?
That's very true. Did the tree guy have a cool like tree name, or was it like a regular kind of name?
I swear to God, I think his name is Woody.
Nice.
I'd have to check the checkbook, but I'm pretty sure I made the check go to Woody something.
That's pretty funny.
He was a nice guy. They were really easy to work with. They did like the whole thing in a day, which is cool. So props to him. I got to give him a good like Google review or whatever. But yeah, I like the new computer desk. It's cool. It's always terrifying to like turn your computer off and move it and then put it back somewhere else because I'm always afraid it's not going to turn on. So like that was like the thing this morning at like 9 o'clock and I was getting things set up better. And I was like, well, my computer turn on. And it did, and it was fucking filthy. It took me like 30 minutes to take that thing apart and dust it. Holy shit. So those were the big like adult purchases because I didn't technically need to do any of it, but I wanted to. And it's like, well, I got that stimulus money. Did not want to spend it that fast. But then the other cool purchase is that I'm getting a Shure SM7B microphone, which is like the industry standard for recording vocals.
Ooh.
And I'm getting like $60 off it because I'm going through work because we do, we print labels for that company. And they're willing to give me a discount. So I got that coming. I have to buy an interface, which is going to cost another like $150 because fuck everything to do with audio. But I'm excited. I don't know if I'll record the podcast with it because it's going to be a bitch to set up, I think. Because I need to plug in, like, multiple things. But if I do, I will sound even better than I do with this microphone.
Wow.
Chad, you already sound the best of any of us on the show, so I don't recommend you doing that. I don't know. It's already...
The problem is you have to get, like, really close to it and basically just, like, eat the fucking mic, whereas this I can get a little far away from and still have the what I need.
It'll make you feel like you're, like, performing or something. So you'll put more the podcast will feel even more fun. You'll be like, yes.
Maybe.
As you're talking about like Yashahime or like you know My Little Pony, X Warhammer.
I'm really excited to get it though because it should make me sound like as a vocalist, fucking great.
Yay.
Whereas this microphone does not capture me the way I want it to or the way it should because it has kind of a strange EQ curve.
Interesting.
So, then I can team up with Gwen and we can make some music.
Yeah.
Speaking of music, I think that we. Would be remiss if we went 15 minutes without talking about the new Taylor Swift song.
Oh, yeah.
Which we almost did. And
wow.
I feel like we're not living up to the brand.
What is this again?
It is You All Over Me featuring Aaron Morris. It wasn't originally on any of the albums. It is from The Vault. It is one of the songs being added to Fearless, I think. I don't know.
Oh.
It's also very obvious that it was... You guys have all listened to this, I assume, at this point?
I'm listening to it right now.
Okay.
Also that.
It's very obvious to me that the song was retooled for the Folklore era.
I can hear that, yeah.
In terms of, like, the sonic, like... In terms of, like, the sounds that it uses and the instruments it uses. It... feels very much in line with like the Folklore Evermore era with her trying to like use her southern drawl at a couple moments that I found kind of cringe. I don't know, I thought it was fine. I'm not like that excited about it. It sounds like a John Mayer song.
It sounds like, fine to me.
I love the production. Like, it's one of those things where all of the songs that she's like released so far for this Fearless re-release is just like, they're so wide and clear and bright, and it's just, it's nice. Like, I love that guitar sound so fucking good.
Mm. It's nice to get to hear this era of songs recorded in a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Music in the mid-2000s sounded like shit. mostly due to having to be compressed for CDs. And
no, that's true.
Not having, like... high quality digital releases.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't know if this song was necessarily around before. Like, I mean, as I've said before, I'm not much of a pre-2012 Taylor Swift fan, but my understanding is that it's a new song that hadn't been released. I don't know if there was a version of it that had floated around before.
Okay.
Or like a live version or something.
I think it's one that's like been performed live because she's toured with Maren Morris before. So I think that they did like thing, but
that would make sense.
That.
Yeah. I just thought it would be pertinent to.
Yeah.
Bring yeah, I mean, like, it's not offensive, and it definitely feels like an amalgamation of, like, hey, early Taylor Swift, and, like, but also it's a new era of Taylor Swift, and
yeah.
The result is, like, familiar, but not especially memorable for me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't skip it on an album for sure, but it does seem like it's, I don't know, the Fearless album, there's so many songs that are just, like, hooks, right, because it was very much a pop-oriented album, and this doesn't quite have that, and so I'm just like, oh, I wonder how this is going to fit in with the rest of that, if that's where it's going. Curious to hear it in the context of an album and not just as a song, but as a song, it's fine. I like it well enough.
And it's very different from, you know, like, the Snyder Cut, but it's kind of an interesting time we live in where, like, artists are going back, or people are going back and, like, changing or re-releasing or just, like, rejigging, and, like, just because something's released doesn't mean it's final, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or in this case, not released. But anyway, release the air cut. Do that good old stuff.
Well, Warner Brothers, you know, that movement was gaining so much steam, they had to put out they freaked out.
They were scared.
And released
they were scared
a trailer
of us.
They freaked out and released a trailer for James Gunn's Suicide Squad. Like, I'm hearing from the guys I watch on YouTube, I'm hearing that this wasn't supposed to be released for at least another month, but
damn,
they were just fucking terrified that they would have to release the air cut.
What does everyone think about the new Suicide Squad trailer?
I
didn't watch
it.
Oh,
okay.
I've seen it.
Okay, Alex, what did you think of it?
I thought it was okay. It didn't really change my feelings on the movie, which is basically like, hey, okay, James Gunn, I liked Guardians 1. I like the cast that's here. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna make it. It's a Red Band trailer, so there's some swearing and some blood. I'm like, okay. Like, it didn't blow my socks off kind of thing, but I was still like, okay, I'm still looking forward to seeing this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. Like, I liked Harley Quinn in it, and I'm excited about King Shark because it's King Shark.
Sylvester Stallone.
He's being voiced by Sylvester Stallone, which is inspired casting in my
that
opinion.
That is actually amazing.
I, you know, there's a lot about the movie that I didn't necessarily care about, but I didn't hate it, so.
Yeah, I've seen reactions from people who are being like, this is better than any DC movie yet, and it's just a trailer. And I'm like, okay,
I wouldn't say that.
YouTube was a mistake.
Trailers are but short films, folks.
Of course.
And you don't have to spend 4 hours watching them, so.
I mean, you know, you got me there.
Point trailers. But yeah, when's that coming out? This summer or fall?
I don't fucking remember.
All I know is it's going to HBO Max, and I won't.
Yeah, I don't remember when it was coming out. I just know that it will come out, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
So I don't think it is actually coming to HBO Max
day one
anymore, because Warner Brothers and Regal signed a deal like last week or something. And they signed a deal that for Warner Brothers movies to release in Regal cinemas because they're opening next week, I think. They will have a 45-day exclusivity window before titles are released on streaming services. So it seems like those movies won't like be first to streaming anymore.
That's interesting. It's all I can see is that it's coming out August 4th. I'm guessing that's the theater date.
That's a theatrical release date, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, according to this article that I'm reading on Variety, 45 days after that, it will come to HBO Max.
Because here it says, Suicide Squad, you can watch it on August 6th, but it's only there for 45 days. Which seems like the opposite of what it
That seems
be.
Like the inverse of what I'm reading.
Yeah, well, CNET and Variety aren't getting along. It says it's going to hit theaters and HBO Max on August 6th, but it's going to leave HBO Max before it leaves theaters. Which is silly, but anyway, I'm probably not going to see this in theaters nor on HBO Max, so.
Wow, you're not planning on watching James Gunn's The Suicide Squad?
I mean, HBO Max isn't available in Canada, and I don't feel comfortable going to the theaters, so the only ethical thing to do would be to
have one of your friends pirate it for you.
Well, yes, but only a really good friend of mine, only one I really trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. That's understandable.
But this is a movie that I'd probably would have gone to theaters to see if it was not non-pandemic time.
Yeah.
Gone with some friends, probably had a good time. Well, regardless if the movie's good or not, but yeah, that's coming out.
Maybe if I'm vaccinated, I'll see it in theaters.
I'm next week I will be fully vaccinated. I don't know if I'm going to go out to a theater, but I've thought about it because I miss going to the movies.
They should give out movie pass with vaccination shots. Like once you're
They
done, they're
really
like, "Hey, here's a
should.
month free. Go ahead, kid."
Dude, I got baited so hard. I think it was last week when there was that viral tweet that was like, the MoviePass website has a countdown on it. And I was so excited, and it just turned out to be a joke that somebody did for 20 clout.
No.
I was waiting to see what happened from
I should
that.
have, I mean, I should have known, but
That's
I should have known I wasn't, the world was not going to be kind to me.
What's
There
the
was no
current
way the cruel world would
MoviePass
end.
like messaging or delayed another month or sorry
MoviePass
the
doesn't.
n not MoviePass whatever AMC
Oh,
does.
my AMC
Yeah.
subscription? Yeah, it. I got an email a couple weeks ago that delayed it through March, or I got the email in March that delayed it through June. So,
Oh.
well, I mean, I can like reactivate it whenever I want. Like
Right, but
that's how it works.
there's
Like
no reason.
if there's a theater open near me, like I can reactivate it and use it and start paying for it again, but it won't auto reactivate until June,
Yay.
which is fine 'cause I that's probably around when I'll probably be vaccinated by then. We'll see.
And you can see Space
But
Jam too. What a lucky
I mean,
guy.
at this point I'm so desperate to go back to a movie theater that I probably would choose see Space Jam. That should
Mean
not be a
after
tongue
they ruined
twister.
Lola's tits?
I don't watch
You're
kids
right.
movie. I don't watch children's movies to sexualize them,
Wow.
unlike
He's
some
a
of the perverts
freak.
on the internet.
Jean-Luc's a freak.
Yep, that's
Man,
me.
you know, discourse moves so quickly on the internet. That's people aren't talking about it anymore. They're over
It feels like
No.
6 months ago
Oh, I
now.
think lots of people are talking about it.
I'm glad
Are
it's out of
they?
my feed. Well,
Well,
I'm sure there's people who are putting targeted
I
harassment
guess.
campaigns against Warner Brothers to reinstate, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got to rent out my bot farm somehow. Well, I guess it moved on to the Pepe Le Pew discourse.
Oh
Oh
yeah.
Those
were
right. This
kind of the
movie's
same in my
had
mind.
two waves of great discourse. Wow.
Yeah, Pepe Le Pew was going to be taught a lesson in consent.
By LeBron James. Well, no, not by
God.
LeBron James, by an actress. And LeBron James is going to be like, "You can't do that, Pepe Le Pew. You're not a pro basketball player." Jesus.
Yikes. What are you saying about LeBron
No, not
James?
LeBron James. He's not a pro basketball player. He's a movie star.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, the discourse does move quickly online, and we're so frequently left behind by it. I don't even know what the discourse is right now,
Me either.
which is probably for the best.
This more I'm not gonna. No, it's okay. I don't need
I
to.
spent a lot of
We're
time
good.
this morning like reading, so I didn't actually catch any discourse.
Wow.
Does reading Twitter count as reading?
No, I just meant like I
I
was
was
reading
reading all
like
morning.
comics, so I didn't see any of the discourse because I just like literally was not looking at it.
Yeah, I looked at Twitter this morning. Well, I kind of got a sense for what the discourse was because I looked at Twitter last night, saw a post about it, went to bed, woke up this morning, and it was the discourse, and then I played Apex Legends for 3 hours
I see.
Oh, that
instead of
sounds nice.
engaging with it. So, I think I made the right choice.
Probably a good
But
call.
yeah, but Emily, you read some comics this morning?
I did.
Anything good?
No.
All right, that's
That's the
been the comics
correct answer.
podcast. Thanks,
Oh,
guys. Thanks for
okay.
listening.
Anything particularly bad?
Anyway, I mean, okay, actually, you know what? To start off the show, I'm going to take the bold stance here and say that Ha Ha number 3 was not that bad.
Oh, Ha Ha number 3.
Best comic of the week was Ha Ha number 3, guys.
I was fucking vibing with Ha Ha.
Shockingly, Ha Ha number 3 was the best comic of the week.
Chad, did you read Ha Ha?
No.
Oh, well then you missed out. Oh, dude.
I doubt it. I honestly doubt it.
I thought it was okay.
No, this issue was actually, I actually really enjoyed this issue. It's like an almost totally silent issue.
Yes.
So there's no room for dog shit dialogue.
Yes.
And it's this really cute story about like a street performer who like can't pay his rent and is upset about the state of the world. And he takes a job digging through rubbish and he finds a big robot and they become friends. And they do like street performances together and they live together and they enjoy each other's company. And then the robot gets requisitioned by the scientist who made him, was taken back to the lab, and the street artist breaks in to break him, to get him out. And it is just like a really cute one shot. The end is predictably, and I kind of hoped that it wouldn't go in the direction that it did, where they both get shot and killed at the end. It is sort of like predictably nihilistic. But everything before that is so much fun, like, and it's so adorable, and the relationship that those two characters have with, you know, that is built up and is very clear with no dialogue, just all visuals, is just fantastic. And feels like the themes of the previous two issues of Ha Ha are present here, in that it's about, like, oh, these people getting Joker-fied by how bad society is. But this one is about somebody who, like, starts off Joker-fied and then goes through a de-Jokerification process.
De-Jokerification.
And realizes that life can be worth living, and it's just...
Like, we got our title.
If you really don't good. Name this episode, it's about de-Jokerification, I'm going to be very upset.
Emily's going to get Joker-fied if you don't name that.
This is going to Joker-fy me.
I'm pretty sure most of us on this show have been or are Joker-fied, so... But yeah, I really fucking like this.
I was not going to read this.
I read it last because I was dreading it so much, but then it was like this amazing bright spot in a week of terrible fucking comics.
Yeah, I was no shot I was reading this after reading the first two. I was like, no, and then you're like, oh, it's actually good. I'm like, okay. All right, Jean-Luc, let's see what it is.
I read it first because I thought it was going to be bad, but I thought it would be like just sort of a like okay, like I expected kind of bad. So like I was willing to start off my comic reading with it. But yeah, like I kind of liked this issue. I like this mime and his robot boyfriend, and it was kind of cute and kind of sad.
Yeah, and there was an orphan girl, and they
and
gave
she
her
became
money.
Joker-fied at the end.
Yeah, she became Joker-fied because the one person who showed her kindness was killed.
Which I also liked. I liked it. I thought it was. I thought it was a good little ending of her like finding the clown stuff in the dumpster and becoming Joker-fied. Yeah.
It's a really good one shot. Like it just goes like set up to pay off, really so well, really well contained.
Yeah,
really well paced. Love the panel of the mime falling asleep on the robot's shoulders, mm-hmm. watching TV on the couch. It's I loved this issue.
Yeah,
like independent of the rest of Ha Ha, this is like one of the best things I've read this year. I think
I agree.
Like it's so good. Yeah, and he's the robot's little bow tie. It's so cute. It's so cute. But yeah, that's Ha Ha number 3.
It's all downhill from here.
Just a phenomenal issue.
Can we get Alien out of the way?
So yeah. Chad, I have a question for you.
So, go ahead.
I've seen Alien. You know, the first movie. I enjoyed it. I haven't really interacted a lot with Alien. Do most of the other alien properties have really boring humans and not a lot of aliens? Is that the appeal?
That I feel like we need to have like a law where you can't make an alien thing for 10 years because everyone keeps fucking it up now, and I feel like you ruin it for everybody. No, we should pull a bandaid off, no more. You get what you got. You can read the comics you like, but most of them are garbage. You can watch the movies. One of them is really bad. You can play with the toys, you can play with the video games. No more alien stuff. It's been ruined for everybody. We need to take a break.
What, you mean you're not excited for the Disney Plus show?
No.
reading this Marvel published Disney owned alien comic didn't fill you with confidence about the Disney Plus streaming show coming this year?
I went oof on page like 2 when there was like a lady version of a xenomorph with like a crown and like curvy hips, and it's like, guys, I know this is like his dream sequence, but if this is not where we're supposed to go with this, this is not a good introduction to your comic. Also, the artwork looks so bad.
It's dog shit. It's Salvador
LaRocca. It looks terrible.
Yeah. So it's Salvador LaRocca who drew Star Wars for a really long time. And the way that he, in scare quotes, drew Star Wars was that he literally just traced the actors' faces.
Oh, yeah.
And this is very similar in that the facial expression, the faces look so fucking bad. Like, it's like the experience of going back and playing a PS2 game now, because it, like, at the time, those were like, could it be technically impressive, but now it just looks like, oh, they got so close to like being photorealistic, and it looks like it has that Uncanny Valley vibe to it and just pulls you right out of it. And this is very much that same kind of feeling.
I didn't like the coloring either, though. It's like way too bright. Like, it looks like a Marvel comic, and not, you know, at least the Dark Horse ones had the sensibility to be like desaturated and like grainy and kind of gross looking.
They took the aesthetic of the first two Alien movies and,
yeah,
and translated it into comics.
Fucking imagine that, right? Like,
this just looks like a fucking X-Men book.
It does. And I feel like there's something to be said for, like, hey, what if we have like some basically anti-establishment, anti-corporation, like, people trying to take down Weyland Yutani? There's a story there. I feel like that sentence by itself could be a hook. Hate every character in this. There's really no alien, so it's all characters, like Alex said, but they're fucking boring and stupid and annoying and whiny, and I want them to die. I want them to die really horribly in an alien comic.
So you should come back for the next issue, because it does end with them all getting facehuggers. So
yeah,
they're all going to birth aliens.
I don't think the guy's son got facehuggered. It looked like he was about to.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Hopefully he does.
Maybe it's some sort of meta play where they're like, let's give you a really boring book with boring humans, and then we're going to get him, like, fucked up. And then, you know, issue 2 will be good.
Well, maybe. I'd say we'll see, but I probably won't.
I think the problem is that the art is just so fucking bad that even if the writing is good, it just doesn't matter.
But then the writing wasn't good.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think conceptually it's kind of interesting. Like you said, like, this hook is something that I would be interested in reading if you gave me that pitch, and it would be enough, like, normally for me to be like, yeah, I'll read issues 2, maybe issue 3, sort of see where it goes from here. But the fact that the art is so fucking terrible just killed any interest that would have sparked in me, you know?
Yeah. Can't believe this is, like, published by Marvel.
I know.
You know, there's going to be ads in this, too, when you buy it in the store. They're going to be, like, mid... Look at this shitty art. Oh, here's an ad for another Marvel comic that looks like dog shit. Yeah. Fucking good job, guys.
I wonder what's getting at. I don't even know what's getting advertised in DC and Marvel comics these days. It's been so long since I read a physical book, like, floppy issue.
So I picked up Superman last week. Yeah. But I don't see ads. I just see comics.
Did you read the thrilling conclusion to Superman number 29 and Action Comics number 1029?
No, should I have?
No.
I read Detective Comics because Chad was like, "Should I read Action or Detective?" And then you were like, "Oh, no, Bob, don't bother reading Action." So.
Oh, that. Well, yeah. There's some important context there, which is like, Action isn't worth reading if you didn't read Superman last or 2 weeks ago,
oh,
because it's part 2 of a story in Superman. You also could have skipped Detective Comics.
I learned that later on. But how was Action Comics?
Action Comics was fine. Like, I think that thematically the story is interesting, which is that, like, Jonathan Kent is seeing his father in his last days as Superman. And clearly, like, he's come back from the future and he's like, this is the event that... This is, like, one of the last events where we saw... Where the world saw Superman. And clearly it's, like, not because Superman is going to die, but because he's going to replace Clark as Superman. Or at least that's sort of my reading of it. And that's kind of... There's, like, a compelling, like, father-son story there. Especially because, like, the Tomasi Gleason stuff... There was a lot of really strong stuff in that series. So I'm invested in that relationship a little bit. But... The execution of it is just so clunky because it all comes through this running internal monologue that runs through the first like half of the issue and explains the themes in as much detail as possible and then goes away at the end. And then Darkseid shows up. So it's, I don't know, like it's one of those things that I wanted to like it because it could be a really cool, like, two-part Superman story. Also, like, I like Phil Hester, who does the art for this, and he's the artist for Family Tree, but his style just doesn't map very well onto Superman, in my opinion. It just looks kind of, like, it just ends up looking kind of weird. I think there's definitely, like, other big two places where his art would work. But he has his roots in like horror comics, I'm pretty sure, and so seeing him draw a Superman book is a little weird, and I don't necessarily think that he pulls it off super well. So, no, I don't think Action Comics was really worth reading.
Oh,
also it's weird because it's written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, who, funnily enough, also wrote Alien, that Alien comic we just talked about.
Oh no!
Oh wow!
So, not a good week for him. But it's weird because all of these DC books have new creative teams that are presumably going to be on the book for a while. But he wrote the last issue of Superman and this issue of Action Comics, and it's a different writer solicited for both of those books in the next issue, I'm pretty sure. So I'm not really sure why they did that, if they just needed somebody to fill in because Bendis didn't want to write Superman anymore and they needed a fill-in team for a month before they got the main team on it, but it's just a weird choice, I think. But yeah, it has a Midnighter backup that is really fucking terrible.
Yay, Midnighter.
And I say that as somebody who, anytime a Wildstorm character shows up in DC, I will fucking read it. But very rarely is it good.
That sounds so. About right.
Yep. I mean, there have been like some, there's like sometimes they'll show up, like Grifter will show up sometimes. The Stormwatch book at the beginning of the New 52, which had Apollo and Midnighter, was kind of good as well. But yeah, most of the time it's just a bummer. So that's Action Comics.
Yay.
Alex, you said you read Detective.
I did.
Yeah?
I also read Detective Comics.
Oh, hell yeah.
What did you think, Emily? Well,
I thought it was okay. I read it and I thought it was fine. This was, like, Batman and he's, like, meeting his neighbors and shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was making sure because I read all of the comics in like one big swing today. So I just wanted to make sure that was the one I was remembering. Yeah. Like, I thought it was fine.
Yeah. I kept thinking that Huntress was going to actually be in it because the first page of the book has Huntress, and not like the cover, but like she's on the first page, like perched on the building. And there's like a zoom in panel of her sitting there. And as far as I can tell, she does not show up in rest of the comic.
No.
I think they forgot about her.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what caused that to happen. The rest of this is okay. I think the scene where Bruce has to meet his neighbors because he's doesn't have access to his fortune anymore and can't live in Wayne Manor is, like, funny. And I think it's intentionally funny.
Yeah, that was how I took it.
Like, it's just, like, Bruce Wayne talking to other socialites who are not quite as rich as he is, but, you know, on the up
they just
up,
don't
I
understand
guess.
Him.
Yeah. That is kind of fun. And then he puts on the Batman suit again.
And then they tie to Joker War and all this stuff. Yeah.
Well, that's the problem is, like, Tinian has made this whole... Like, Tinian's Joker War stuff has had such a wide-ranging impact on the Batman books that as somebody who had no interest in reading James Tinian's Batman run, like, it just... Like, jumping into these different books just... It's so hard to, like, parse what's going on sometimes. Because, like, I get that, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, these are, like, Joker-inspired gangs. And, like, people love the Joker. But there's no stakes to any of it. There's not, like, a hook here for the start of a Batman arc where there's some kind of mystery that he has to solve.
No.
Until the very last page. And it's not... I don't know. It's just not one that I really care about. Like... It doesn't set up that mystery from the beginning.
I mean, this is a common theme, but I would have just preferred if it was just, like, Bruce Wayne trying to, like, meet his neighbors, and he's invited to, like, barbecues, and he's like, oh,
right.
I don't really want to go, or, like, oh, I brought chips, and he brought, like, a, you know, a tiny bag of chips that's only enough for him, and it's like, well, Bruce, you should bring enough to know how to share. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Detective Comics being a book that feels different from Batman would be nice, but... It has always just, for the last, like, 10 years, it has functioned as just the secondary Batman comic. So
yeah.
It's, I don't know. But yeah, it would be nice if Detective Comics was the slice of life Bruce Wayne book. That, I agree with that, but that's a pipe dream, unfortunately.
Oh.
It's like all these people have, like, these amazing ideas and then go, oh, but we have to ruin the idea because we write comic books.
That's
well,
the last step.
Because they write superhero comic books, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I needed that qualifier, right?
There were a couple other DC number ones. Did y'all read those? Harley Quinn and
Sadly.
Teen Titans Academy.
I read both of those.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Academy one first? Because it had a line where it was
if you want to.
Where Nightwing was like something about defense against the dark arts, and then one of the students cancels him for saying defense against the dark arts.
Yeah.
And then
she
explains that he's canceled.
Him. She just says it's problematic.
No, he's canceled.
I was just like, not like this, Chief. Not like this.
Yeah, he's getting called out on Twitter and dragged. He'll deactivate before the night is over.
God,
he did it. Yeah, I really wanted to like this one because it's like, hey, the Teen Titans, and it's like a group, you know, kind of like Gotham Academy vibes, where it's like, hey,
yeah, it's like the team.
But I didn't like anybody.
My favorite part of this was when they put the Teen Titans in X-Men costumes but replaced the X with a T, and I'm like, that's really funny that was the visual direction that they took with this, and that's the only thing that I found even remotely endearing about the comic.
I like Beast Boy well enough.
Yeah,
I feel like he's hard to write poorly because he's just like the comedy character who doesn't really need to say much. He just has to be there and look endearing.
There was a
and
moment.
It's like, okay, well, they did that.
There was a moment where Raven referred to the new kids as being green, and Beast Boy was like, "I'm right here." That really tickled me.
But everything else about it was pretty rough for a variety of reasons. But mostly, I feel like I've seen this premise enough where I don't care.
Yeah, I mean. It's very clearly trying to be like Avengers Academy, which was a really good Kieran Gillen book at Marvel that came out a long time ago. And that's fine. I feel like the premise is actually the most interesting part about it to me, where it's like, oh yeah, it's like a bunch of like new characters that we don't really know who are teenagers, and like the older characters are trying to mentor them. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm kind of into that. But when you're stuck introducing like 10 characters in an issue and can't make any of them remotely interesting, you're gonna have some problems.
You know what would have been great is if this had taken place the day before the first day of school, and it's just like the Teen Titans stressing out because they don't know how to be teachers or look after kids.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they're going to do both those things, but also the kids have superpowers.
Like, what class would Beast Boy teach?
Well, not Home Ec, because he assigned that to Cyborg.
To Cyborg.
But yeah, like, I feel like there's like a good comedy here, and instead we got really generic superhero shit. Like, I'm your teacher. Do you want to have a talk or do you want to fight? And then they're like, I'm gonna kick your ass while we talk and do lessons. It's like, I hate this so much.
Where's the red X?
I want this to die.
These two number ones, this one and Harley Quinn, might have had the highest density of like censored swear words that I've seen in a while.
Harley Quinn normally takes the crown with that.
And I just think that if you're going to have to censor them, just use a different word.
Or just don't censor them because it's fucking Harley Quinn.
I recently bought like a big collection of Green Arrow Longbow Hunters, which is like, I don't know, a book from like the 80s or 90s. And yeah, it's not censored at all. And I'm like, well, what happened? Like, it's still rated T for teen. I don't know.
Teens can't see curse words, Alex.
I guess they can't comprehend anymore. It would make the book bloated. Yeah. So,
also, Nightwing monologues twice in this issue about like his time as Red X, and both times is really fucking trite and boring.
I didn't know he was ever Red X, but also the first time I was like, oh, I guess this is for me, right? Who doesn't know the character very well? I get it. And then he does it again. I'm just like, I don't care anymore.
They did it for you twice, Chad. You have to be thankful.
Thank you, DC, for thinking I'm dumb. That's how you write all your fucking books.
I mean, it's possible you like, you know, there's what, like 20, 22 pages in a book? It's possible you skipped it by mistake. You know, you flipped it over.
So. I mean, I wish I'd skipped a couple of these pages. I wish I did not have to read the panel where two teenagers talk about how they kind of want to fuck Nightwing. Did not like that.
Yeah, was not a fan.
Was not really a fan of that, if I'm
being
honest.
Okay with that.
I mean, like, I didn't hate it. I was just like, this didn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's just like, it's probably going to be a plot line later where Nightwing explains consent, but...
Oh, God.
But, like, it is such a, like, it's just a, it's such a stupid throwaway thing to, like, use page space on. Like, leave fucking Nightwing to Barbara Gordon, please.
God, I want to see this, like, because they're here, like, they're teaching the kids how to use powers and fighting and tactics and how to be superheroes, but also they still got to teach them, like, math and biology and chemistry, right? And, like, I would love for this story to be written by, like, the one actual teacher they hire because no one knows math. And they're just like, I'm the math teacher. I'm normal. I'm a human. I don't wear a costume. I'm going to teach all you dumb fuckers how to derive fractions or whatever.
You might like Wolverine, Jason Aaron's Wolverine and the X-Men, because it has some great scenes of, like, Storm and Wolverine and other, like, established X-Men being teachers and trying to do that. And it's not the main thing that happens in that book, but it is something that they do, and it is great.
And then Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
I kind of liked the art in this book. Like,
yeah, Riley
Rossmo. Not all of it, but, like, I, for the most part, I liked kind of the character designs, and, like, I don't know, I was kind of vibing.
It's very stylized. It's, like, kind of like an adult Scotty Young, or a more mature.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a Scotty Young style for more mature books, I guess.
Yeah, that definitely is a good way to
describe
it. A lot
more darker colors.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll defer to Chad and Emily, the two Harley Quinn fans on the podcast.
How was it?
What did you think of the portrayal of Harley Quinn here?
Chad, did you?
I didn't really care for it.
You didn't care for it?
No. It's funny. I read it like an hour ago, and I'm trying to remember even what happened. Like, it was such an empty, lots of words, no substance comic.
She convinces Batman to let her use her psychiatry degree.
Yeah, which is funny, as someone who's been watching Community and season 3 and 4, Britta's like, I'm a psychology major now. I'm gonna fix all my friends with my psychology knowledge. And she doesn't know how to pronounce half the words. And this kind of felt like that, where she's like, I'm a practicing, you know, psychiatrist. And
how dare you
Batman's
put
like,
this
I,
slander
I don't think you are.
On her name. Harley Quinn is a better psychiatrist than Britta.
Well, no shit, but, like, it felt the same, where, like, she's like, I'm going to prove to you and you this. And it's like, no one believes you. You're carrying around a bloody baseball bat. And you're really hyped to get a toaster that makes Batman's symbol on the toast.
And she which gets admittedly her toaster. Was great.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think the scene where she asks Batman about when she's going to get her bat check.
Really
I
good.
I thought that was a great bit. And I thought that like when it came back and she got the toaster at the end, it was a great bit.
I really enjoyed the other, that.
Yeah. The other thing that I genuinely found funny was the green-haired Joker guy who has such a massive chin that it apparently has space to tattoo the Joker's face on it. So he has, like, his face and then below it a tattoo of the Joker's face.
Yeah,
I thought that was very
funny.
And
Harley believed in him because she knows what it's like to be fucked over by the Joker.
Yeah, which she says, like, three times in case we missed it the first two.
I didn't hate this comic, and I would be up for reading more.
Yeah, I just think it's a big part. Like, I don't mind her saying it a lot because, like, it's a big part of where her character is at right now. So, like, if it comes up in dialogue with different people.
This is the first time I've read a Harley Quinn comic for the show that, like, didn't make me angry.
What, you...
That's
you,
fair.
You Oh, well, you could have read Batman White Knight, whatever the subtitle was, number 6 of 6 this week.
I accidentally started reading
White
that
Knight
one.
Harley Quinn, and I hated it, so...
Yeah, that's what I mean. The last issue of that came out this week.
Yeah.
Well, I checked it out.
I thought about it, and then I didn't, because I
Did hated you read the full
comic.
Thing, or at all, Jean-Luc?
No, of course not. We read the first issue, and it sucked.
I read the second issue, and I thought everyone else was reading it, and no one was.
That's
right.
No. We baited her, just like we did with Rorschach.
Oh, yeah, it's just like... exactly!
Yeah, Emily, we're definitely reading the next issue of Teen Titans Academy. So
I love it. I love it.
I'm actually reading the next issue of Teen Titans Academy. Yeah,
us too.
Volition.
Us too, Emily. Well, yeah, it'll be lots of fun to discuss.
Yeah, so are we.
I got baited because all of the DC books, except for, I guess, Teen Titans Academy, but I hadn't read that one yet, were, like, they're starting new arcs, but the numbering is never 1. So I read the beginning of Harley Quinn White Knight, and I'm like, this is kind of a weird title for this. This kind of sounds familiar. I got, like, 3 pages in, and I was like, oh, right. And then I closed that book, went to the regular Harley Quinn, and I was like, okay, this is fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought this was fine. It's not amazing.
I don't like Riley Rossmo's art. But
really?
Yeah. It don't do it for me.
That's fair, I guess.
It's too dark and not Scotty Young, you know?
Huh. I definitely wasn't like in love with it at first, and then it grew on me. I was like, by the end, I was like, you know what, this is actually kind of a neat thing they're doing. At least it's, like, visually distinct. It's very colorful in parts, which is kind of nice to see. It didn't look like that fucking Alien comic, which I had read, you know, 10 minutes prior.
Riley Rossmo might work on an Alien comic. I can see that.
I think it, like, the first half of this suffers from first issue blues, and then it sort of figures itself out.
That's fair.
So it's, like, an inconsistent first issue, but I'm down to read more of it. I do also really love that panel when Batman shows up at the circus, and it's, like, the page is him standing there, and the panel layout is, like, inside of his cape of him beating up the various belligerents, I guess. I like that a lot. So there's, like, some good stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Which leaves us... with Stray Dogs number 2.
You didn't read Batman
Superman?
Oh, yeah,
Superman? I read this one, didn't I?
I didn't read what?
Batman Superman.
Oh, did that... well, guess not.
Oh, okay.
Did you read it?
Yeah, it's by Gene Luen Yang, who...
I should read that.
Of new Superman fame. I don't know if you should read this issue, but it does a really cool conceptual thing where it tells half a Batman story on the top half in, like, newsreel, and then half a Superman story. Like, it's two stories happening at the same time. And you, like, are supposed to read them one at a time or at the same time, doesn't matter. And at the end, they come together. And, like, visually, it looks really cool. Didn't really care for the story, but I'll be back for issue 2. Yeah. Or issue 18.
Issue 20, I think. 17.
Oh.
Yeah, the numbering is always going to fuck with you. But, yeah, Stray Dogs number 2. I didn't think I was going to read this, but then I didn't have any better way to spend 10 minutes, so I read it. And I kind of think that sums up my experience with Stray Dogs number 2.
I kind of
you know
like
what's frustrating
more than the first one.
Oh,
I mean, Chad, what was frustrating about this for you?
Well, just I feel like they're not playing into the she forgets things like she the first issue with cliffhangers, but she doesn't remember this conversation at all, and then she doesn't remember for a bit, and then she does remember, and it's like, so you just kind of like, I don't know, like, I feel like you're building to a really neat hook, and then you took the hook away, and now we're just back to where we started, but we're 5 pages in instead of 1. I don't understand how this comic is handling its concepts, because I just don't think it's doing a good job of it.
I don't think they took the hook away, it's just that the scarf triggers her memory of what happened, and then they're, like, talking about it the whole time. Because, like, none of the other dogs remember anything, but then there's that bit at the end where one of them sees a picture and remembers her owner. So, like, this issue, you're right, though. Like this issue has it a little bit. There's a couple moments where they're, like when, I don't know, I don't remember any of the names, but when
there's too many, like, dogs.
Yeah, but when the lead dog gets, like, put in punishment or whatever in the fucking outhouse, or I think his name is Rusty, like, by the time he gets out, they've all sort of, like, forgotten about it. I don't know. It definitely feels like something that, like, it comes up when it's relevant to the plot, and otherwise it sort of doesn't matter. Also, I thought the whole crux of this was, like, this guy is an awful murderer, but he's nice to his dogs. But he seems really abusive to his dogs here. So I don't know what's up with that.
It but seems he like kill he's them. He's easy to, like, anger with his dogs, but for the most part he treats them well.
And he's also easy to anger with women, which is
unrelated. I mean, not
I really
it
I'm
is related.
Curious but. To see what, like, the crux of this is going to be, because there is a mystery of some kind.
I don't think, like, there's much of a mystery.
I feel like they're building to some kind of payoff, and I'm just like, well, I should maybe know better. Like, he was all right with the pony comics. Like, this writer generally has, like, a, you know, he's fine. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm giving him some benefit of the doubt. For, like, no, this has to be going somewhere interesting, right? Like, you don't just write a story about dogs and not have a place you wind up, you know, you planned on being. I don't know. Well,
the problem is that there's not really, I mean, and maybe there is, maybe somebody else is, maybe all of those dogs' former owners are fine, or maybe somebody else is killing them or something, but the dogs aren't really, like, solving the mystery. Like, when the reason that I did, you know, despite not liking the first issue, like, yeah, like, there is a compelling story of, like, what if it's a, you know, like, a crime comic, but dogs are the detectives, and it's like, oh, that's, okay, sure. And but, like, that doesn't really seem to be what they're doing. It just seems to be like, oh, the dogs are the main characters because they're cute dogs, and that's the only reason for it. There's no, like, other compelling narrative hook to it.
Well, Jason Aaron likes it, so.
Well, good for Jason Aaron.
Yeah,
I don't have to like everything he likes.
I don't know.
he's kind of fallen off as a writer in the last, like, 5 years anyway. So
I'm guessing he wrote this a back cover quote in the last 5 years then. I think I'll be back for issue 3, though, because, again, I kind of want to know, like, I don't know.
I kind of want to know.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It feels weird to say I've come this far when it's only been 2 issues, but I've come this far.
So. I feel like I already know.
But it's like
if, what is there to know?
Like, if it's just the guy who's killing people, and the dogs seem to, like, know that.
Then... Well, they only know it when they remember their owners, though, like, because they have no memory, right? Like, other, like, they don't know it until their memories get triggered.
Like, there are some books that it works where, like, I feel like very few times where the audience knows the twist and the people in the story don't know the twist. Like, I feel like a lot of the time that just doesn't work, and that those stories aren't really, like, that's not the direction things go. Because that is the thing where it's just like, this guy kills people. The dogs have to figure it out, though, and it takes, like, 12 issues.
I feel like the dogs know that. They just can't know it for more than 10 minutes at a time.
Which is an interesting concept.
It'd be kind of funny. Yeah, like, because if they have to, like, come up with some elaborate, like, Rube Goldberg machine to keep remembering long enough to stop him.
Yeah.
It could get, like, really wacky. But it's clearly not the tone of the comic, so I don't expect it to do that. So I'm just like, what are they heading for? Because I think it's a 5-issue mini.
Ha.
Huh.
Yeah. It feels like the story is already over.
A little bit, like, and so it must not be, because there's 3 more to go, at least.
We've come this far, we can do 3 more.
Exactly. That is really how I'm treating this as well. I'm extremely invested a whole, like, 18 minutes into this property. I have to see it through.
Yay.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing it through.
Yay.
I read Sonic, and it was fine. I'm not gonna... We're already at an hour, so I'm not gonna, like, go into it because... I mean, I don't really feel the need to, but, like, I've been keeping up with Sonic, and I think it's all right.
Cool.
Yay.
It is a mildly enjoyable Sonic comic, and I like one of the new characters that they've introduced, this little, like, marionette girl. And there's been a lot of chows in this series as it has been going for this little chunk so far, so I like that, because I love me some chows. And
speaking of Chow, it's time to leave.
Yeah.
Did we read Ultra Mega number 1?
What?
Yes.
Was that last week?
Ultra Mega? That was last week.
Okay, well then let's get out of here.
Wait, did you just read it for the first time this week?
No, I was just checking Fresh Comics to see if I missed anything, but I'm clearly looking at last week.
Okay.
Yeah, we looked at that. We read that last week.
But like they also say that Batman Catwoman came out last week, but it didn't, and I'm sad.
Well, lots of... Yeah.
Lots of lies.
Yeah.
I got baited because I thought there was a new issue of Department of Truth this week.
Womp womp.
That's next week.
That's next week, yes.
Oh, the best new
Things
comic.
Have gone delayed. Yeah.
The Redneck most... number 30 is out, it looks like.
Yeah.
But that's a comp rev? What's that mean? Is it a companion piece or is it just...
I don't know.
I don't know.
Comics are weird.
Maybe. Comics are weird. Two Moons number 2. Did we read Two Moons number 1? What the fuck was that about?
That was the Civil War comic.
Okay.
Main character.
Oh.
That's a maybe.
Hmm.
I'll read it. I don't know. Look, I really don't have much better to do with my time. Like,
you
when
need
I...
to write Riverdale fanfiction.
Yay!
Maybe.
Oh, there we go. That's all it takes to get... We've planted the germ.
All right.
The problem,
episode 250, guys. We're all sharing our fan fictions.
I'll write a fan fiction for the first time.
The problem is, in order to fix all the problems with Riverdale, I would have to start my fan fiction sometime around the latter half of season 2.
Oh, boy.
I'll allow it.
I would have to rewatch seasons 1. Well, I say that like it would be a chore, but I would have to rewatch seasons 1 and 2 of Riverdale and then figure out how I would, you know, fix the problems from there. Or I could just do what they did and, like, take the time skip and fix the problem.
Just take the time skip.
Except the time skip didn't fix the problems. That's the problem,
You can just go back to the time skip. And then have it so the problems are fixed.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking is if I did write it, it would have to just be like the 7 years later, and everything has fixed. Well, the characters have changed in ways in those 7 years that allows the problems to be fixed, and some of the characters maybe haven't changed in those 7 years. Maybe some of them don't have their entire character arcs from the last 3 seasons thrown out the fucking window. Who knows?
Could it be me?
Maybe we could do that. I love Riverdale.
Beta Ray Bill number 1 out next week.
Well, you can come back next week to hear us talk about Beta Ray Bill number 1. Except probably not, because I don't really want to read a Beta Ray Bill comic.
I don't know.
Maybe I do.
I've never read a Beta Ray Bill comic.
Get more hobbies you weirdo. Like, I have to like fit all this shit in.
I have so many hobbies.
Apex doesn't
play
itself.
John, I have some anime I could recommend you.
Fuck you.
All right, good night, folks.